To God be the glory, right? Come on, man. Y'all reacted a little bit less than I expected. We're going to help our children's ministry, y'all. Come on. We love our kids, man. I don't know if you get to see it or not, but down here on the front row, before they actually go to their time back there for worship in their own space, man, some of them are down here. The older ones come in and worship with us, and they just they teach us so much about who God is. Jesus feeds 5,000 men with a little boy's lunch, basically. You've heard the story, right? Yeah. If you haven't heard the story, he basically finds himself with a lot of people following him, somewhere around 10 grand, something like that. And because that was just the fathers, that was just the men that were there. When it gives the 5,000 number, Jesus feeds them, and I imagine that was kind of a big day, kind of a huge day for him. And when he does, as soon as that dismisses, he tells his disciples to go, and this is what happens. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and go across to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. That's the people home, the thousands of people that he sends home. After sending them home, he went to the hills by himself to pray, and night fell, and he was there alone. This is Jesus's kind of modus operandi. This is, I think, his way of teaching us that there are times in your life after you've had whatever big thing happen, whatever thing's going on in your life, it is a time to be quiet and go get with God. Jesus loved his Father, and he longed to be with his Father. And he went off in a quiet place, maybe a dark place too. This time it was, because it turns night. And something happened after that. And that's going to be the text for today. It's in Matthew chapter 14. It's in your notes. It'll be on screen. If you're at home, you can watch it on screen. If you like to do online notes, you can do that at our website. But if you want to do those in-house, go ahead and pull those out, and we're going to read some text together. After sending them home, I'm sorry. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble. How many of us are in trouble right now? How many of you be willing to admit that you're in a place right now that you'd rather not be here, you'd rather be somewhere else, but you're here because your belief pushes and it compels you to be in the house of worship? And sometimes you come here in trouble and really don't even know what to do with it. Maybe you come in and you smile and, hey, how you doing, man? Glad to see you. Fine. Think you're fine. Everything's fine when everything is not fine. And you find yourself like these guys were. They were far away from the land on a lake, by the way, that a storm could come up in a second, and it was usually pretty massive. For strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. At about 3 o'clock in the morning, did you hear that? 3 o'clock in the morning. That's been my hour lately of awakening some during the night. Between 3 and 3:30, just awaking. I don't know why, because I don't like to wake up at 3 in the morning. At 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they said, "It's the Lord, we're saved." No. They were terrified. And in their fear, they cry out, "It's a ghost." And Jesus spoke to them at once and said, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here." All of that's highlighted in the text on the screen. Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here. We're going to unpack that in just a little bit. Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." It has to be Peter, right? Peter's got to be the one to open his mouth and say, "You know what? He looks a lot safer than I do. He's my rabbi. We follow him. We want to be like him and do what he does and say what he says and do all those things. I'm out of here. If he'll let me, I'm coming out there where he is." And Jesus said, "Yes, come." So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water. Doesn't sound like he tested anything. He just jumped. He's gone. He's walking on the water. But when he saw the strong winds and the waves, again, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out, grabbed him and said, "You sorry, low-down disciple, what is your problem?" He didn't say that at all. He said, "You have so little faith. Why did you doubt me?" I don't know about you, but there's several ways to read that. You can read that as a scolding. Why did you doubt me? It just doesn't seem to be Jesus' nature with his disciples to be scolding them all the time for their lack of faith, which he already knew they had. I don't know how he said it. You don't know how he said it. But for just a moment, I want to imagine that this is not a rebuke or a scathing. This is not him calling him into account for lack of something that he should have already had because he just watched him feed 5,000 people. But it was an invitation. I want to kind of see it as a calling. Why are you doubting? I'm right here. I mean, the answer is right in front of you. And it's like the child that's, "Oh, my mommy. Oh, there's mommy. I'm good." It's just the presence. And that's all it takes to see that kind of love. I don't know. That's just me putting it out there. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back into the boat, I think it's interesting that Matthew's account just says when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. And the disciples fell down in front of him on their faces in a boat and said, "You really are the Son of God." There are two sides to this event. There's victory and there's defeat. And Peter, this is not the only time in Peter's life that he's going to walk through defeat. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But the victory side of it is we need to focus on. In your message points or whatever, it just says walking in victory. It's that time in your life. For me, it was last Sunday standing on this stage going, "I'm cancer free in Jesus' name." Did I know it at the time? Nope, not fully. Because on Friday before that, I'd had that scan, you know, and I was just proclaiming what I think is going to be there or not be there. And I was walking on water. In fact, a lot of times when I'm here, I'm walking on water. It's fun here, isn't it? It's awesome to sing, probably one of the few times in our whole church where we've just sung completely a cappella. And some of you CFC guys, didn't y'all like that? Isn't that good? Can I get an amen from my Church of Christ people? Micah had this idea. He's wanted to do this. He calls me and says, "I'm going to tell you something you're really probably not going to like at all. But we want to try to do this song and kind of do it unplugged." There's just a sweetness about your voices. We wear these earbuds up here so we can hear what's going on and the music and play it right and bring us to moments and that kind of stuff. And that's those moments where I just reach up and pop them out of my ears so I can hear you guys sing. It's awesome. And in the victory moments when I had one yesterday. We went up to see Liz's daughter and son-in-law, and they got two little ones and a little tiny, tiny one. And the first time I've got to hold her, and Liz said, "Casey and I are going to go for a walk. You're going to be okay with the baby." And I was like, "I got this. It's been a long time." She sat in my lap, and I just started, I don't really know what I was singing. I just started singing. And just like it happens to Liz, almost every night as I'm singing, she just falls asleep. Why are y'all laughing about that? What's wrong with y'all, man? Oh, my goodness. I had to give you a light moment because we're about to get real heavy. Yeah, but she did. She just fades off to sleep. And it's so cool. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? When you have a baby in your arms and you're just kind of rocking and talking and or rocking and singing or whatever, and they just kind of, and you look down in their arms, just and she's just in a place, probably become her favorite place, I think. I don't know, in my lap. I have no idea, but it was a beautiful moment. It was a victory moment. The idea of being in these proclaiming times in our lives where everything's great. We got the job. I got the promotion. I got a raise, or my loved one came to Jesus, or whatever. The healing came, or whatever. The addiction's gone. We could just proclaim them all day long, and those are the fun times, and we can stay there. But the only thing is that on the top of the mountain, nothing lives. If you go to the tops of mountains, it's usually pretty barren in some places. It's rocks and snow, and it's just kind of, it's beautiful, nothing wrong with it. But the place where living takes place is down in the valley. The second half of this story, that sinking in fear. And before I get there, hey, back that up. I'm sorry, I messed up. I wrote this morning. I've been talking this all week long, and I had another whole message. Miss Sandra came over and did notes, says I'll fix it if that was ready. And this morning I get here, and it's like the Lord said, I don't think so. Because this is what I've been talking about all week. This is what's been on my heart all week. Because for the first part of the week, I was in Psalm 116. You guys have heard of these Hallel Psalms. Y'all know what I'm talking about? If you don't know what Hallel is, look it up. In the Hebrew, it means to clamor foolishly for God. Some of you did that this morning. Praise the Lord. Woo! Dancing, shouting. Some of you were very calm and quiet, and that's all good. Every bit of it's good. Because the clamoring is not about what happens on the outside, but what happens on the inside. Dance and sing and shout, but if your heart's not there, it's not much. Sit still and be quiet, but if your heart's not there, it's not much. We want you engaging. Because in the Hebrew scriptures, there's seven words for worship, and they all have something to do with your body, kissing the hand toward God. He's amazing. It's the shouts and the proclamation. This is what the Hallel Psalm says in 116. It says, and let me say one more thing before I read it. We don't know for sure who wrote this, but everything about it indicates that it's probably David. Because even if it wasn't David, you could apply it to his life. But here's what was written. He said, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy because he bends down to listen. Don't you love it when you're talking to somebody and they really like, hey, I'm here with you, man. Nobody else is around but you and them. And you lean in. God does that. I will pray as long as I have breath. And when you're in the moment, when you're walking on the water and things great, man, it's just, I'm breathing, so I'm praying. This is awesome. And then come the waves. And it's that sinking in fear. Now you can put that up there, sinking in fear. Because you don't know what to do. And you don't know where to go. You don't know who to talk to. You don't know why. You can't explain it. It's seeing the wind and the waves. Peter, the Bible says, was terrified. I mean, in the same event, Peter, come on. You just think if he's walking on water, I'm like, this is great. Man, he's like kicking up some water over here, you know, and then all of a sudden, no. And he begins to sink. That's our life. Is that not how it works? I mean, is it easier for Christians to exclaim who God is in front of people when things are going great? Absolutely. Let's just admit it. That's just true. But if we can't exclaim the name of God in all circumstances, then it would be like telling your parents that you're awesome and I love you when you do what I want you to do, but when you don't, I hate your guts and I want out of your house. That's the prodigal son story. We would never do God that way, that straightforward. And yet, Peter begins to sink. So Tuesday, you guys know what a patient portal is? I don't like them. Unless the news is good. So I forget what day. What day was it that I looked? I saw that it was on the porch. Like, was it Sunday night? Maybe. Maybe it was. Whatever it was, it was. I mulled over this thing for like 2 days. Do I look at it? Do I don't look at it? Liz was like, "It's up to you." I was like, "I don't know if I want to look at it or not. I just want to live in the water walking time." And, of course, the question is, well, what if you read it and it says everything's clear and it's all gone, there's no more cancer in your body? Then you can not only walk on water, you can dance on the water, shout on the water, and kick some water up and be excited even more and say, hey, hey, hey. And, you know, man, Then you say, well, nothing's going to change if I read it or don't read it. It's just there. It is what it is, you know. So on Tuesday night, we decided to read it. And, of course, it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of doctor words and big stuff and all that. But I'm married to an RN, which is a big advantage on all this stuff. So I read it. I got about halfway through it, and it listed liver, all the vital stuff, liver. I don't even remember. Whatever is vital in there. It listed like six different things. And all I saw was it's in everything. It's everywhere. It's all over my body. And I just shut it and quit. And I was just broke down because I was scared. And I saw the waves come. And I didn't want any waves. I wanted to walk. Oh, water. She kept reading. Basically, it's two tiny spots here, a tiny spot about right here, and a lymph node right next to my heart. Three of the five said, could be, could not be. I get on the water and say, those aren't going to be. And then the waves come. I mean, some of you met me. Dan was over here next door. This brother, man, he's just got a heart. He's got discernment and a heart. He's a man of affection. And he just saw me. And he knew, you knew when you saw me. I was 30 feet away from him, and he knew. He said, are you okay? You don't look so good. I said, no, I'm not. And I just broke down. Two dudes right out here on the front of this thing. You know him. He ain't going to risk that opportunity. He just grabbed me up. Kiss me on the cheek, wipe my tears away. I said, it's not all gone, Dan. It's not all gone, man. Back up. That night, I did the same thing with her. And I begin to say what most of us feel but are afraid to say, but the psalmist gives me permission, and Job gives me permission, and my God gives me permission. Just like you want your kids, when they hurt, to tell you they don't understand and they want to know why. And so right in front of her, I just began saying, what's going on with this? I proclaimed it last week. It was gone. In my mind, it wasn't there. And it's not. I look like a fool. God, you messed this up. You're supposed to fix all of this. Liz went into a little bit of panic mode about then. And she was like, wait a minute. Hey, back up here. Big guy. What you don't understand is this is like sub-centimeter stuff is what it said. I didn't read that part. But how many of you know? Joe knows, don't you, brother? Joe knows. If it's in you, it doesn't matter how sub-centimeter or little, whatever those words are, is. It's in there. I want it out in Jesus' name. So we grapple. And the waves have been coming all week long. My kids know it. She knows it probably more than anybody because she's right there with me, which is, God, thank you for giving me her and all the, and just, and on and on. You just proclaim and you say and you fall and you get up and you fall and you get up. That's part of this walk. If you're here today for the first time, and some of you are, God bless you for coming. I'm sorry you walked into this such a heavy thing, but I want you to know at Discovery Church, we just understand that sometimes it sucks and there's no way you can turn around from that. Yeah. In fact, the psalmist, this is the next verse in that text I just read where he's like, hey, God listens to my prayers. Next verse, death wrapped its ropes around me. The terror of the grave overtook me, and I saw only trouble and sorrow. I love the psalms, man. They just tell me what I need to say in the moment. And then you start, don't you flood these other verses in your mind like, it's not in the text, but these other verses in your mind where you just go, oh, doubters are just like the wave of the sea tossed to and fro. You're not supposed to doubt. That's a different kind of text, a different kind of passage, and so on. Just struggle toward God. And I don't know. The truth is, we all struggle, and if you're human, you probably doubted. But the ultimate answer and the real truth is this. Jesus is Lord, Savior, King, and he does nothing but love. How can this be love? I'll let you deal with that. Because I don't have the answers to all that, but I do know this. He loves me. And as you grapple with whatever it is you're grappling with, understand that he's about the only answer that you can hang your hat on, as we say in the South. He's not about. He is the only one. He's not accusing me. He's not mad at me. He's not angry with me. He's not frustrated, because you know what goes through your mind as well. This just came to my heart as well. Some of you do this. You're like me. So, okay, God, I know why this is happening. I remember that stuff I used to look at, or that thing I used to say to people all the time, and how many times I took your name in vain and all that stuff. I remember all of that. So this is what this is. It's a punishment. You're going to beat me down and kill me with cancer because I'm a low-down piece of garbage. That's the enemy. And that's why you need one another supporting and drawing people together. Because I'm looking across this room and I've seen every one of you, most of you, gone through some kind of stuff or going through some kind of stuff. And you need the same thing that I have to have and I have right now. And that is that my faith in God is greater than my doubts about what's going on with this situation. Peter comes back later and Jesus tells him, he says, Jesus says, I got to go away. I'm going to die. And Peter said, no, you can't die. What are you talking about? You can't do it. You can't die. Then Jesus looks at him and says, get behind me, Satan. You don't know what you're talking about. He wasn't talking to Peter. I think he's talking to Satan there. I used to get confused about that. Jesus loved his disciples. And he's going to say, nothing you can do is going to stop this from happening. And so here's what the enemy has to understand. There is nothing in the world that he can do to me to take my faith away from me. You, that's your choice. But if there's a quid pro quo with God, if you'll do this, I'll do that, you gotta get rid of that. You gotta knock that out of your life right now. Stop saying that if you heal me with cancer, I'll be okay. If you don't, then I'm not gonna be okay. If that's your relationship with God, you don't even know. You gotta get that fixed. Stop doing that. Our culture teaches that. Well, if she don't do everything I tell her to do, then I'll just get rid of her and get another one. That's what the culture says. But I don't get to do that. Because I love her like I love the church. Like Christ loved the church, and gave himself for it. That's my role. That's my work. That's what I do. That's who I am. And so that's why in the frustration, we grow closer together. You know how? That's the picture of what the Bible says the church is like with Jesus. That in the frustration of going, Jesus, I don't know why you're doing this. What's wrong with you? He goes, I'm sorry, you don't get to be in charge, man. And it don't always work out. But here's the thing. Not if, but when I kick out of here. And it may be sooner than later, or later than sooner for everybody I'm talking to, or if you're listening to me online. Because that's the way the world works. And somehow in the back of our mind, we think we're going to defeat it ourselves. It's just not going to do it. So here's what Jesus has told me all week. You were on the mountain last week. You proclaimed before all those people that you had no cancer in you. On Monday or Tuesday, rather, you find out that there is cancer in you. So you've been fighting all week trying to make me look good. That's what God's telling me. You're trying to make me look better than you can't help me look good. That's who I am. But we're so afraid with our friends to be real. And when they look at us and they go, I don't understand your God. Why does he let your pastor continue to have cancer? And you can just look him in the eye and say, you know, I don't know that, but he's still God. And you can say with very, 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 like incredible confidence, like with the most confidence of anything you ever had, that your faith is the most real thing that you have because everything else goes away. But it doesn't go away. It gets fulfilled. Because when I see Jesus for the first time, whew, man, why did I get so frustrated about this? Why was I so angry at you, Lord? I see what you have planned. He said, you'll know like you've been known. That's what's coming. So don't be sad. Let's proclaim the same thing I proclaimed last week, that healing is here. It just ain't got here to me yet. Can I just tell you the real truth? I believe that you may fight this and battle it. If you've got a better answer than this, I need to hear it. Because the thing is that I might not live through that. And to be honest, that scares me to death. But there's nothing. Cancer cannot take away my spirit. Now, I know for some of you who are really close to me, you know that sometimes it feels like that. I can't. So listen to me, enemy. You don't get to win. Hey, period. That's the truth. That's the truth. He don't get to win. He's already lost, and he knows it. He knows it. And all he wants is your heart, and you can't give it to him. And if you decide today not to give it to him and you give it to Jesus, then you have the same confidence that I'm walking around with today. Today I'm walking on water. I go talk to the doctor in the morning. Who knows? He does. And he's got me. So, Father God, at the end of this message right now, I want to just proclaim that you are who you are and we are not. God, we love you, we praise you, we honor you, we glorify your holy name. And in the moment where my back's not hurting and nothing's affecting my body and nothing's going wrong, it seems like everything's well, I proclaim it. God, help me in the moments when it's not to continue to proclaim. Lord, I believe, help me in my unbelief. Thank you, Father, that you are right here with us, in Jesus' name. Final word is this. This is what, from the text that I kept getting this week, and that is, do not fear, I am with you. Do not fear, I am with you. And I want to encourage you this morning with those words. Now, this has been, y'all go ahead and stand up. This has been difficult. This has probably been difficult for you to hear. Please. One other thing I love about Liz is she always puts me like straight, and sometimes it comes out in funny ways. And she said, okay, so we read the report. She said, okay, let's go ahead. Let's have our pity party. Let's get that done. Let's get this part of it done. I need people like that in my life. I do. I need you and friends and everybody. And we don't need to walk around mulling and dragging and whatever. You can just go on and tell people today on Pastor Appreciation Day that your pastor said Jesus is alive and well, and it's going to be all right. All right? Come on. Let's praise him for that. And this morning, if it's not all right with you, I hope that with God, because I had in my mind I would not share this today because I didn't want a bunch of questions that I can't answer right now. I don't know what the treatments are. I don't know what's coming next. I have no idea. But he does. So you don't have to ask me any questions. You don't have to be, oh, I'm sorry. Just pray and hope and believe and move forward. Let's hold each other up in these moments. And some of you right now need that. You need to be held up. You need to be already. We got prayer team people all over the place. And you need to be making your way to somebody and saying, hey, I'm in the same boat, right? I want to be on the water, right? I don't want to sink anymore, right? You just need to admit it and say it. And let somebody pray over you and let God come in and heal your heart. If you have never named him as Lord of your life, today is the best day on the planet to do it. I promise you, because you may not have another day. Come on, y'all. Let me just appeal to you one last time. Step out of where you are. Go ahead and move. Come pray with somebody, and we're going to worship. And God calls you out. He's calling you out right now. Don't do it because you're emotive about me. Do it because your own situation needs him right now in it, okay? Don't be afraid. He is with you in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Everybody take a deep breath. Let it out. I love you. Have I told you lately I love you, church family? I love you so much. You guys are awesome. You guys are awesome. If you are a guest today, please do a connection card so I can connect with you. We can connect with you as our church. Don't forget Impact 2. Impact 2, is that 2 today? Yes, yeah, 2 today. I'm leading it, and I couldn't remember what step I'm on. Walk out the back door and to your left. If you don't know what that is, walk out the back door and to your left and go to the Kingdom Kids Room. After the kids are out, do not go in the kids' room there. I love you. If you're going to give today, if you're partnered with our church and you want to give or going to give today, you guys should know the black boxes on the door, on the wall, in the back. And if you did a connection card, please just drop those cards in there, and I will get those, and we will connect. We will connect. I love you guys. Go in peace. Enjoy the day for Jesus. God bless you.